So today I want to talk about the power of the ask. And as we think about that, we can think about prayer and our God's invitation to come to him with our requests. And like any parent, our Father in heaven is glad to hear us, our requests, and glad to answer our prayers. We can also think about it in terms of stewardship and the church's request that you fill out those pledge cards in your bulletin and bring them forward and place them in the treasure chest here at the foot of the altar. But when I think of ask in our family, we think about a game show called, well, let me ask you, do you know the name James Holzhauer? Do you know that guy? How many people know that guy? All right, you watch Jeopardy like I do. Okay, he is the big winner this year, a game changer for Jeopardy because he's won this year over $2.5 million. And he faced off with the other champion, Emma Betcher was her name. She's from Chicago. And we like her because she's Pastor Weekman's friend. Okay, so her family was members down at Prince of Peace in Springfield. However, she got blown out of the water by James Holzhauer. And James, along with, Ken Jennings was the other big winner. They're, I think on January 8th, they're matching up the three big champions from Jeopardy. But he also won, Ken Jennings also won about $2.5 million. So together, $5 million. And do you know what the final Jeopardy answer was between these two? It was a biblical question. So see if you know the answer to this one. They both got it right. They both got it right. So this is the longest book by Hebrew word count in the Old Testament, whose name means a complaint or a long lament. Anybody know? What is it? Okay, the correct Jeopardy question is, what is Jeremiah? So Jeremiah is wrong. No $2.5 million for you. Okay? But the thing is, it was a game changer, and other game shows like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I Have a Friend. Bob Behnke, who was on that show. Too far. Go back. We're still talking about Jeopardy. Thank you. And he was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and he won $100,000. And a lot of those game shows, you never get to the $1 million. You just get to $100,000, $50,000, chicken feed. And if you get to the big money, then they have insurance companies. And so the game show doesn't pay that out. They have an insurance company that pays out the big prizes. But Jeopardy is so old that they don't have an insurance company to pay out those big prizes. So with $5 million to pay out, I don't know whether Jeopardy is going to be around next year or not. But anyway, game changers. Now we can go to the next slide. Here's another game changer, Jesus of Nazareth. He was born into this world. He said he was the Messiah. He said he was going to die. He said he was going to be crucified. He said after 3 days, he was going to rise to life again. Not only did he say it, he did it. And because of what he said and because of what he did and because of what he accomplished, the world has been changed forever. And I think about some of the people that Jesus interacted with on this earth. I think about Lazarus, who he raised from the dead, and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. I think about Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples. I think about first Christians and the Apostle Paul. I think about us and how Jesus has changed our life, how he's changed my life, a true game changer. And today, we want to talk about two other individuals whose lives were changed by knowing Jesus. And they were in our gospel for this morning. Do you remember the story in the gospel? The scene was Calvary, the crucifixion. Jesus is there on the cross, and on either side of him are hanging on their own crosses two criminals. And there's this discussion that goes on as these three men are hanging on the cross. And both of these two criminals have an ask. They ask Jesus for something. The first says, if you are the Son of God, take yourself down off of this cross and take us with you. Save us. And the second asks, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In other words, save me. They were both asking the same question. They wanted to be saved from this terrible end that they had come to. And I remember years ago as a young pastor going to a meeting of pastors. Do you know what pastors talk about when they meet together? They talk about the Bible, of course. One of the older pastors there, nearing retirement, he said, I'll always remember this, he said, the most important word in the Bible is the word ask. And I thought to myself, ask? How can that be the most important word in the Bible? I mean, is that some kind of hyperbole? Is that an exaggeration? Are you pulling our leg? You know, what's going on with that kind of a statement? But then as I thought about it, I realized that that word ask is an important word because it takes our relationships with one another to a whole nother place. Because when we ask something of someone else, whether it be our spouse or a friend or a neighbor or especially God, then we're revealing a kind of vulnerability and humility within ourselves. And you think about why it is that some people don't ask. And I think it's because they don't want to look foolish. They don't ask because they don't want to look foolish, or they don't want to appear needy, and so they don't ask, or they're afraid they'll get the answer no. They're afraid they're not going to get what they ask for. And for me, I think one of the greatest inventions of the modern technological age is the GPS system in your car or on your phone, right? You have one of those? They are fantastic. And as a man, I love those because you never have to ask for directions, right? That is great. I couldn't live without that. And so I love my GPS system, and the only problem I have with it is when that lady's voice on the GPS tells me to turn around, and I can't see where I'm going. That's a big problem for me. That's a joke. Turn around, I can't see where I'm going. Okay, all right. We'll go on from there. And you'll be glad to know the next thing is a video and Steve Jobs talking about the importance of ask.
Most people don't get those experiences because they never ask. I've never found anybody that didn't want to help me if I asked them for help. I always call them up. I called up, this will date me, but I called up Bill Hewlett when I was 12 years old, and he lived in Palo Alto. His number was still in the phone book, and he answered the phone himself. He said, yes? He said, hi, I'm Steve Jobs. I'm 12 years old. I'm a student in high school, and I want to build a frequency counter, and I was wondering if you had any spare parts I could have. And he laughed, and he gave me the spare parts to build this frequency counter, and he gave me a job that summer in Hewlett-Packard, working on the assembly line, putting nuts and bolts together on frequency counters. He got me a job in the place that built them. And I was in heaven. And I've never found anyone who said no or hung up the phone when I called. I just asked. And when people ask me, I try to be as responsive, you know, to pay that debt of gratitude back. Most people never pick up the phone and call. Most people never ask. And that's what separates sometimes the people that do things from the people that just dream about them. You gotta act. And you've got to be willing to fail. You've got to be willing to crash and burn, you know, with people on the phone, with starting a company, with whatever. If you're afraid of failing, you won't get very far. So.
Okay, thank you for that. So we have this idea, this conception, this invitation to ask, and we have some powerful promises that are associated with it. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will be found, knock and the door will be opened unto you. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Powerful, powerful promises, because he is a God who loves us, and he wants to hear us come to him in prayer, and he wants to grant our requests. And he knows that that process, that act of asking, takes the relationship between us and our God to a whole new level. I think in our modern society, a lot of people think the most powerfully intimate words that you can say to another person are the words, I love you. I love you. But if you think about it, those words really have an element of control and power associated with them, because you can say, I choose to love you, or I choose not to love you. So there's a bit of kind of control there. But when you ask, you are basically saying to another person, you are saying, I need you. I need you. You are coming to them with a request, and you are saying to them, there is this thing that I cannot realize for myself, and so out of your love for me, I am asking if you will help me to receive, to get that thing. And when we say that to another person, to a wife or a husband or a friend or a neighbor or to our God, it takes our relationship with that other person, it takes our relationship with our God to a whole higher level. And I think about those two men on the cross who came to Jesus with their ask, Lord, save me. And the first A thief, the first criminal hanging there on the cross, came to Jesus like the mob came to Jesus. And he was ridiculing Jesus. If you are the Son of God, take yourself down from the cross and save us too. Not really asking, kind of just saying the words. And sometimes we do that too when we pray. And then this second criminal, he comes to Jesus with a broken and a contrite heart, knowing that he is a sinner. He says, he says to the other criminal, he says, why are you making fun of him? We are condemned rightly for what we have done, but this man, he has done nothing wrong, recognizing who Jesus is, the holy, perfect, sinless Son of God. And then he turns to Jesus and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And do you remember how Jesus answered him? Do you remember? He said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in heaven. The answer was a yes, a resounding yes. I will save you. And then I think about another ask that took place on the night before Jesus was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you remember that scene, Jesus and his disciples had just celebrated the 12 had just celebrated with Jesus the Last Supper together, and they went out to the Mount of Olives to this Garden of the Wine Press, which is what Gethsemane means, and there they went to kneel down and pray for a while. Well, the disciples just fell asleep after all that wine at the Passover dinner, but Jesus, he prayed. And if you remember his prayer, he said, Father, if it is possible, this is Jesus ask, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, Jesus was looking ahead down the road to the day to come, knowing what was heading his way. And he says to God, if there is any way possible, let's do this another way. And do you remember God's answer to Jesus' ask? What was it? No. To his own son, he said no. And Judas would come and betray him. And the mob would come and arrest him. And he would be taken away to Caiaphas, the high priest. And the Roman soldiers would beat him and mock him and place a crown of thorns on his head. And he would go on trial before Pilate for his life. And he would be condemned to death, and the soldiers would put a cross on his shoulders, and he would carry that cross to Calvary, and there he would be nailed to the cross for the sins of the whole world, for your sins and my sins. God's answer to his son was no, so that his answer to us could be yes. Today you will be with me in paradise. Well, for Joanne Gehrke, who's very near death in hospice, that might be true today. For the rest of us, perhaps Jesus saying, truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. I died for you. Your sins are forgiven. Heaven is waiting. All you have to do is ask. And so let's do that right now. Let's pray the prayer together here on the screen. Lord Jesus, I want to know you in a personal way. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life to you and ask you to come in as my Savior and Lord. Take control of my life. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Amen.